You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
Some may say, where are we going? You don't need to go no place. Hell is made by the people and not by the nature of our reactions, reactionary earth. No, we makes the hell. And we makes the heaven. What is hell? It's a place of where that people is disagreeable to live with in peace. Heaven is a peaceful place where people live like they would like to live for themselves. That is in peace. Every man would like to enjoy peace, though he breaks the peace and cause discontent in the community. But now, he would like for himself a contented place. We want to see about all of that, my God and myself. Some of them say, I want to go to heaven. You make heaven where you are. There's no such a thing as a certain place that we call heaven, only that place where man makes a peace for himself. And the good of the great abundance of nature pouring down to him is one.
Cedric Muhammad.
Yo. Shot tight. It's 94. Must go more fast. Sound like go rest on Pathfinder.
Cedric Muhammad.
Tank lines, lamps, all the nine squares.
You are listening to the hottest show in the diaspora, the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Program.
Waking up about 10 kids, jumping in the shower, reach about to make moves and slide like grease. What I'm all about, text, sex, enough respect in front, slamming your life with Lex. So
Muhammad.
Now I'm out in the night, fly, rocking that grill, and don't die, that's down, cross the knife. So I'm making a pit stop, going by a box of Glocks, he don't up, make a winner.
Cedric Muhammad.
Remember that kid that we picked, he made a half a meal for real, he brought about four bricks. Yeah, so now we connect doors, meet me at the airport, tell golden arms maintain a fort, get in touch with that West Coast Cali crab staff, and meet me at the empty slab. So word up, kid, we slid like a fat for the 12-bit of this. I need the Vic. And when I slept, my drink deep. Son, I need some. The keys cold self, call up son. I heard Hoop and Tyreek bought a beat over some real. It's fake, but it's fake, then they killed this click. Give me your minute and I'm winning. Yo, see it on Diddy. Rock your vest, keep your whip tinted. So now we see him up in Bojangles, strangling a 40 ounce with 10 T's worth of gold bangles.
Diamonds, what watch man space, where his man's face, but dad is
in a place. Yo, he knew we knew him, so we blew him. Took 30 G's worth of jewels off that, and threw him. So now I'm lamping in my man's land. Jesus hot like sand, Jesus rolling in my right hand. Yeah, you know the steez old black, God gold him like that, so lost him all hats.
Cedric Muhammad.
94, taking against the war. Yo, what do you believe in? Heaven or hell? You don't believe in heaven because we're living in hell. What do you believe in? Heaven or hell? You don't believe in heaven because we're living in hell. So it's your life.
You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
Open with mad strangers. Yeah, you know how it runs, baby.
Some of them say, I want to go to heaven. You make heaven where you are. There's no such thing as a certain place that we call heaven, only that is where a man makes a peace for himself. And the good of the great abundance of nature pouring down to him his want.
October 7, 2009, I want to welcome you to the hottest show in the diaspora. Folks from all over, I can't even begin to identify where listeners are for. But Jeff Ransom out in Brazil, I had to salute you early on. I mean, was there ever any doubt or question that Chicago was not going to get the Olympics? I mean, don't get me wrong now. Got love for the Shy, love for the president. Man, I even got love for Oprah on this one. Oprah and I have a mixed relationship. But I mean, how would that have looked for the United States of America to get another Olympics? You had LA, you got Lake Placid, you had Atlanta, and Central and South America haven't even got one dip. Once, when I was with the Wu, there was a debate over whether or not there should have been a second Method Man album. I'll put the camera on in a minute. And Divine told me, he said, nah, we're not going to let Meth dip twice for the Klan members get once. I mean, America's going to dip four times before Central and South America get to dip once. So Jeff in Rio de Janeiro, who may be listening, I tip my hat to you. Want to welcome you to the Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program, as I like to do. Let me go through the captain's blog, let you know what we intend to get into. The demise of the dollar, I want to hit that early on. Of course, I'm very full over the release of my book, The Entrepreneurial Secret. But I would not want to. I don't want to catch the Holy Ghost too soon. So we're going to get geopolitical in hour number one, but I want to talk about the demise of the dollar. I say it's a little premature. Some of you all out there are praying for the downfall of the greenback. You're going to have to make a few more rockers if that's your prayer, because there's a missing element to the plan to overthrow King Greenback. I'll illuminate that shortly. I want to talk about China. 60th year anniversary, People's Republic. Well, you all don't want to applaud a socialist empire. I'm down with China. China sends some of the most consistent traffic to blackelectorate.com. We have viewers all over China. I have no idea yet why. We've even had the government of China on the site. Happy anniversary, People's Republic of China. I want to talk about the lessons of China as it relates to entrepreneurs and economists. Meet the Press. And this week, I want to take a look at some of the discussion over the unemployment numbers. Religious tolerance or intolerance in Egypt. Muslims and Christians, how do they get along? How do they manage and maneuver that? I'll deal with that. Oh, I can't forget, Don Imus back in the building. Yes. I watched Imus in the morning. He was up there counting his money, thanks to you activists who thought you were protesting him. You were only giving him a paid vacation and a new lease on life. Don Imus on the Fox Business Channel. Anyone watch that, let me know. Don Imus proves that the era of activism is still going strong. He ends up in a better position thanks to you all who protested against him, while black athletes, black entertainers, black talk show hosts are the only ones who have been out of work because of your efforts. Shout out to Don Imus. Maybe Don Imus will have me on to promote my book, The Entrepreneurial Secret. October 7th, some of you did not know what this significance of this date was. Pardon me, let me get some coffee. I start getting choked up when I talk about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. October 7th, the recognized birth date of the one known as the Messenger to most people. Other titles that he wears, of course. Okay, let me not delay any further. I want to jump right into this. Big day for for the Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program. I want to also thank Matsumela Matfumo and the Make It Plain family. Of course, Miss Rogers, always good to be in her lovely neighborhood. And I think Andrea is the new engineer over there. Last night we had a great show. And I want to read a comment that touched me. A listener to Mark's show sent this in. Her name, I think it's a her, it may not be, Shalene Domingo, maybe a male. I'm sorry. Shalene Domingo of Clinton, Maryland says, Cedric, I heard you for the first time last night, October 6, 2009, on Make It Plain with Mark Thompson. I was sitting in my driveway, and I couldn't get out of the car because the conversation was so engaging. I am on board, and thanks for your book. Thank you, Shalene Domingo. If you're listening, very honored to have you from such a wonderful program. Make It Plain, Matsumela Matfumo, Mark Thompson. You can hear that 5 to 8 p.m. on Sirius Channel 146, and I believe XM 167. If I'm getting that wrong, I'll promote it numerous times today. Let's go to Europe, all of you American-centric greenback lovers. You all are not the only people having to deal with the dilemma that a falling dollar has, the impact of it. Let's go to Euro Bloomberg this morning.
We've all heard about the sinking dollar, but for European officials, the big issue is the surging euro. That could be a hot-button issue at tomorrow's European Central Bank meeting. Our Sarah Eisen has more on that from our markets desk. Sarah?
Margaret, a strong euro could become a big headache for Europe, and that's why some strategists say don't be surprised if you hear some complaints from the ECB president, Jean-Claude Trichet, at tomorrow's meeting. Remember, a strong euro hurts the competitiveness of euro's exports, those German cars or the Italian luxury clothing. So one way that you can see how strong the euro really has become, it's the trade-weighted exchange rate, the trade-weighted euro. It measures the euro against 21 other currencies. So the pros watch this just to see how broad these euro gains have been. And you can see we're near historic highs on that trade-weighted euro. It's why Adam Boynton at Deutsche Bank says Trichet could warn against, quote, brutal moves in foreign currencies tomorrow. He's used that phrase before. We've heard that phrase from Trichet in 2007 when the euro was getting too strong. Don't be surprised if you hear it again. And Boynton says it could cause a pullback in the euro dollar, but that will only be temporary because Boynton says we are in a trend and the dollar is a weak trend.
All right, we're going to continue to follow that trend and have you help us do that so much. Thank you so much.
Okay, so tomorrow, keep your eyes on currency exchange rates. They may go a little bananas. I'm not quite sure what you can expect. Glenn from Philly, he dabbles professionally in that world. Some of you out there are also currency traders. A lot of small investors now getting more into currency trading. We'll talk about that in future programs. Now, let me read the article that got this all started. Man by the name of Robert Fisk, who some of you know, writes for The Independent, penned a piece in yesterday's newspaper called The Demise of the Dollar. I'm going to read this to you. Very important article, not just because of the veracity of it, whether it's literally true or not. That's Robert Fisk on the screen, y'all. Don't get scared. I think that's a younger picture of the Mr. Fisk. The demise of the dollar. In a graphic illustration of the New World Order, Arab states have launched secret moves with China, France, and Russia to stop using the U.S. currency for oil trading. That's the key line. I'm going to build on this. Our number one. In the most profound financial change in recent Middle East history. Now, that's a dead giveaway. He's kind of dramatizing. He's pointing on a little thick. First sentence, in the most profound financial change in recent Middle East history, Gulf Arabs are planning, along with China, Russia, Japan, and France, to end dollar dealings for oil, moving instead to a basket of currencies including the Japanese yen and the Chinese yuan, the euro, gold, and a new unified currency plan for nations in the Gulf Cooperation Council, including Saudi Arabia or Saudi Arabia, Abu Dhabi, Kuwait, and Qatar. Oh, hold on. Somebody's checking me on my Olympic knowledge. They want me to know that Mexico City, 1968, isn't that considered Central America? Yes, now I must adjust my statement to say South America. See how smooth I am? Thank you, whoever that was. They said, Cedric, you're getting, you're spouting incorrect information. Mexico City, black power fists in the air. How could you forget that? I apologize. Back to our Robert Fisk article, The Demise of the Dollar. Secret meetings have already been held by finance ministers and central bank governors in Russia, China, Japan, and Brazil to work on the scheme, which will mean that oil will no longer be priced in dollars. The plans confirmed to The Independent by both Gulf Arab and Chinese banking sources in Hong Kong may help to explain the sudden rise in gold prices, but it also augurs an extraordinary transition from dollar markets within 9 years. The Americans, who are aware of the meetings and that they have taken place, although they have not discovered the details, are sure to fight this international cabal, C-A-B-A-L, which will include hitherto loyal allies, Japan, and Gulf Arabs. Against the background to these currency meetings, Sun Bujing, or Bijan, China's former special envoy to the Middle East, has warned that there is a risk of deepening divisions between China and the U.S. over influence in oil in the Middle East. Bilateral quarrels and clashes are unavoidable, he told the Asia and Africa Review. We cannot lower vigilance against hostility in the Middle East over energy interests and security. I'm reading the article, The Demise of the Dollar, by Robert Fisk in yesterday's Independent newspaper. A friend of mine just came back from England. I got two or three newspapers from London. The Independent is one of them. You all know of Robert Fisk. Let me give you a little background for those that don't know who Robert Fisk is. I don't know that I would compare him literally to Seymour Hersh. Gotta give him some love. Seymour Hersh of the, was he right for the New Yorker? But Robert Fisk has a impact like that. He's been based in Beirut, from what I understand, for 30 years. And some people consider him, the New York Times has said he is the most famous foreign correspondent in Britain. So when he writes, he has some juice. He was one of the few Western journalists that actually interviewed Osama bin Laden, actually 3 times. So Robert Fisk's network, I think his intelligence tentacles are deep. I think what he's writing is plausible if it is not literally true that they were actual meetings. I'll explain why that does not matter in a minute. He goes on to write, this sounds like a dangerous prediction of a future economic war between the U.S. and China over Middle East oil, yet again turning the region's conflicts into a battle for great power supremacy. China uses more oil incrementally than the United States because its growth is less energy efficient. The transitional currency in the move away from dollars, according to Chinese banking sources, may well be gold. Hold on. This is the key part. As a matter of fact, if you're not paying attention to me because the camera is not on me yet, I must get your attention. This is fire truck certified information. The transitional currency in the move away from dollars, according to Chinese banking sources, may well be gold. It says an indication of the huge amounts involved can be gained from the wealth of Abu Dhabi, Saudi Arabia, or Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and Qatar, who together hold an estimated $2.1 trillion in dollar reserves. I had to put the fire trucks on that, because in between China, which holds maybe $1.5 trillion U.S. dollars or treasury securities, U.S. securities, you also have to keep in mind that Abu Dhabi, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and Qatar hold $2.1 trillion. So let me explain the significance of this. I think we're moving closer to war with this announcement. I would say peace, but I don't think we're moving closer to peace, because there's a central issue at hand. Now, these are my thoughts on the article. You send me your opinion if you've read it. To me, this is the first mainstream article openly suggesting that the twin pillars of what I call the twin pillars of the U.S. financial power may be crumbling. One of those pillars is the argument that the U.S. dollar should be the world reserve currency. It's the best place for you to store wealth and preserve it over time. That's pillar number one. Pillar number two, the main thing that props up the dollar's value is that there is always a demand that's artificially guaranteed for it because the whole world has to pay for oil in terms of dollars. And this has been going on as part of really Bretton Woods. The oil nations, in part under the influence of the United States, this is why Saudi Arabia is really the wild card. By the way, I believe the leader of Saudi Arabia is in Syria. Keep your eye on Syria and Saudi Arabia. They are wild cards. The West is trying to woo Syria. At the same time, it may be losing Saudi Arabia. But Saudi Arabia has had an agreement to recycle U.S. oil revenue back into treasury. So the America buys oil from Saudi Arabia. Oh, y'all are getting tired of looking at Robert Fisk. Okay, I feel you. But the United States sends money to Saudi Arabia in exchange for oil. And in turn, the Saudi Arabia Monetary Authority, the government, they've had this agreement where they would purchase U.S. Treasury securities. So they keep the dollars, the petrol dollars, flowing into U.S. currency. Those are the twin pillars. Twin pillars again. One, if you want to keep a safe haven, you want a safe haven, a place to store money and wealth, you go and get dollars. You convert whatever you have into dollars. That's pillar number one. Pillar number two, you have to buy oil in dollars. There's no other way around it. So in my view, the question is, how will the transition of power away from America be handled? It's already in motion. The question now is, can it be managed peacefully through a young president? I call him the cultural entrepreneur, the diaspora personality, the American emperor, Barack Obama. Can he manage? Oh yeah, whenever we say his name, we give him some love. Can Barack Obama manage the peaceful decline of power, America's waning influence? Is that maybe why he's here? Is Barack Obama really here to manage the peaceful transition of power from America to other parts of the world? So can he manage it by reading the handwriting of decline that is written on the wall? Or will a war break out as a result of America's decline and this rising block of power brokers, China, Saudi Arabia, Japan, all of the Arab states, Russia? Is somebody going to misread somebody's strength and try to check their chin? Do you all understand what I'm saying? Is somebody going to want to test somebody? Is America as weak as she appears? Or is she something like a lion who looks dead, but if you get close up to it and it's still alive, can swipe your head off? Are Russia, China, the Arab states, Iran, are they misjudging the strength, relative strength of the United States? Will a war break out because somebody may test someone geopolitically, invade another country, put sanctions on another country, do something very disrespectful? So I think that the Robert Fisk article, the demise of the dollar in yesterday's Independent in England, is one of the strongest forms of evidence that we're headed for war. Now, these are all of the nations that had with maybe the exception of Japan, superficially, all of these countries had a problem with the invasion of Iraq. And again, the rumor that I've heard, many of you have heard, America went to war with Iraq because Iraq was moving to put its dollars, was going to ask for oil payments in foreign currency. It's going to move away from the dollar. This is what Iran putting its money, its currency reserves in euros, not dollars. Is this a cover story for Iran being potentially bombed under the guise of nuclear disarmament? I know my new book is out, but I had to get geopolitical on you in case you forgot. I think we're moving closer to war. Some of you may think that we're moving closer to peace because there's a leveling off between America and the rest of the world. I think when people lose wealth and there's disequilibrium, that's when you have fights because people are insecure over their standing. So can the transition happen without a collapse inside of America? Economically, I'm speaking. Is there a way for power to be transferred, so to speak, between America and the rest of the world, or a leveling out, the end of American hegemony, without it being or producing an economic collapse inside of America. Yeah, I know this is sobering stuff, but do you understand what I'm saying? Can the American economy decline in a gradual state, or will it be sudden? Will there be a move away from the dollar suddenly? Think about it. Take a look at the unemployment numbers. I'll talk about my book. These jobs are not coming back. The jobs, the 7.2 million jobs that have been lost since December 2007, a great significant proportion of them are not coming back. President Obama will not be able to replace that many jobs. Okay, let's get some audio. We've been trying to take an international look and then come in domestically. One of my favorite channels, Russia Today. If you have not tuned into Russia Today, you don't have a cable operator, you can get Russia Today online. Here's how they discussed all this in Russia on Russia Today yesterday.
The U.S. dollar may be dealt a major blow to its dominant role in global trade. A report in the independent newspaper in the U.K. says that Gulf states, along with China, Russia, Japan, and France, are planning to stop using the greenback in oil deals. It adds that within just 9 years, crude could be priced in units based on a basket of currencies, including the Japanese yen, Chinese yuan, the euro, gold, and possibly the Russian ruble. Moscow has repeatedly called for a wider use of regional currencies to cut dependency on the U.S. dollar, saying it was one of the main reasons for the current global economic crisis. Max Kaiser, an activist, a filmmaker, and former stockbroker, believes that the dollar could be replaced as the world's reserve currency sooner than analysts forecast.
The idea of a basket, a currency basket, they're already talking about this at the G7, the G4, and the G20, and the International Monetary Fund. We just came out of a major G meeting in Pittsburgh, and the topic of discussion was creating a global currency to replace the U.S. dollar as reserve currency. They already are aware of this. They're talking about a special drawing right, which would allow all the currencies to be recalibrated and then redistributed, with the U.S. dollar taking the biggest devaluation of up to 50%. They don't want to finance America's wars anymore, because the U.S. dollar reserve currency status gives America an incredible leverage in financing wars that they don't really have to pay for. China, Russia, and Iran are paying for America's wars in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and possibly in Iran. And there's no strategic or philosophical reason why they're making these wars other than the war industry in America controls the White House. Obama works for the war industry, and they need wars to keep profitable, and that's the only reason we're seeing this. But I think the timetable is going to be a lot sooner than what Robert Fisk is suggesting. So if the U.S. economy were to disappear overnight, it wouldn't be as the catastrophe that some in the U.S. argue it might be. Yeah, sure, there would be dislocations in the near term. But look what happened in the scandal last year on Wall Street in 2008. That was completely fabricated by the folks on Wall Street to give themselves a huge bonus. And they engineered this rescue from the rest of the world to come bail them out in their bonuses. And the rest of the world is just saying, we're sick of your fake manipulation of the your fake currency, your manipulation of the markets, your phony wars, and all the rest of it that goes with having the U.S. dollar as a world reserve currency. So this is really another step toward the U.S. economy collapsing and the U.S. as a major global power collapsing.
And you can watch the full interview with Max Kaiser, activist and former stockbroker, on our website, rt.com.
Activist, former actor and stockbroker, Matt Geiser. Let's go to CNBC, bring it back to the USA.
Well, I think that the real source of the dollar's weakness and the real source of the gold's rally is not about what gold is telling us about anything except liquidity. The world is flush with liquidity.
Yeah. We call this a mental massage. Rapid fire. I'm hitting you with international and financial news all at once. But I have to take a pause for the call. Someone is asking that I start a new movement against the Monique Show. Now, this was not a priority on my radar. But when someone makes a request like this, we had to put it under review. Someone would like for me to now replace my skinny jeans crusade. And by the way, there's rumors that I've been in skinny jeans within the last week and that I will be in them again next week. Stay tuned.